Who is this guy?
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Listen, I'm Batman.
Oof, you even sound like a bad guy.
I swear I am a good guy.
Okay, Mr. Batman.
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 That's what I said, Batman.
No, you're saying Batman. Listen, I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
This is the Batpod. Batpod.
Grab your bat microphone, it's time to start the show. Like a court of owls, the mystery is starting to grow. Let there be no debate, it's about to begin. Keen like Bruce Wayne, quick like Tim Drake, fierce like Damien. Grab your headphones, listen up, you know you love it, drop the facade. Like the Dark Knight Detective, they've got some perspective. They're a pure crime-fighting collective. It's the Batpod.
Welcome to the Batpod. My name is Bill Beer, and joining me tonight, Jay Loving.
Hello, everyone.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well.
That's good, that's good. So tonight, we got a pretty good show for you. We got Batman number 94, Batman Special number 1. Detective Comics 1023, our topic of the week, top three Neil Adams covers, and of course, Stump the co-host. Okay, let's go ahead and head to a special announcement.
The Batpod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
We are a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network.
Welcome to Stump the Listener, and you're probably thinking, what is Stump the Listener? Well, Stump the Listener, this being our 50th episode, Stump the Listener is going to be a prize giveaway. You're going to get a few questions. All you have to do is answer these questions. These are really easy questions. Jay can attest that for you. These are cheese questions. He could even get them. Am I right?
Hey, yes, but I've also scored on the last two Stump the Co-hosts. So.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Two in a row. Of course, here on the Batpod, there's a theme, and the theme for the tonight is food. And you're probably wondering, how does food come into this? Well, you will see right here. The very first question for Stump the Listener. What is Batman's favorite sandwich that he would eat in the Batcave? Is it A, grilled cheese, B, a BLT, C, cucumber sandwich, or D, peanut butter and jelly sandwich? So again, what's Batman's favorite sandwich he would eat in the Batcave? A, grilled cheese, B, BLT, C, cucumber sandwich, or D, peanut butter and jelly? So Jay is going to give our next question.
The next question. How does Batman eat a burger? A, with two hands. B, with gloves. C, a knife and a fork. Or D, chopsticks.
And that's how does Batman eat a burger? Two hands, gloves, knife, fork, chopsticks.
Yes.
If you want to be in our contest here for the 50th episode anniversary contest, you can send us an email, batpodpodcast@gmail.com. You can DM the Batpod on Twitter. It's @bat_pod. Or you can send me a message through the Batpod account on Facebook if you're on Facebook. So there will be cash and prizes. Should I tell them what the cash and prizes are? Or should I just leave it a mystery?
Gosh, I would say tell them.
Okay, he says tell them, I'm going to tell you. So, the cash and prizes are, and these are real cash and prizes, it's not the cash and prize. Jay has a full house full of cash and prizes. It's none of that. None of that. The cash and prizes will be, and first of all, if there's multiple people, you know, with the correct answers, which I assume there will be, We're just going to do a drawing, and that person will win either a Batpod-themed t-shirt, a Batpod-themed coffee cup, or a Batman graphic novel. This contest will go through July, and at the beginning of August, we will pick our winner. So you have to the end of July to get those answers in. Get those answers in, and we'll go ahead and head to our first book.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed. You're ready to move up.
Our first book tonight is Batman number 94. Your writer is James Tynion IV. Artists, Gilliam March and Raphael Albuquerque. Colors, David Barron. Letters, Clayton Cowles. Cover, Tony Daniel, Tamu Mori. Variant cover, Francisco Matina. Associate editor, Dave Wilgos. Editor, Ben Abernathy. And in this issue, a flashback shows a younger Bruce Wayne seeking the master detective, Cassandra Wycliffe Baker, to learn from him, but the only lesson learned is failure. Lucius Fox patches up Batman. He learns that Wayne Mansion has been seized along with his fortune, and he is wanted for embezzlement. After talking to Selina and learning she had been shot, Batman takes off after her and finds an empty bed at the hospital. Selina wakes up in the coal room, Penguin's hideaway for Gotham criminals, and the issue ends when Batman receives a sign from Alfred and will become a better bat. So, right off the bat in this issue, we see something that, you know, when this arc started in issue number 96, we see these designs that Bruce had written on this napkin, and they're not what they thought they are. They're these dark designs of what the city was supposed to be in his eyes, or his imagination of what the city is, this dark place, so he could become this weapon against the city. What did you think of this issue so far?
It's really, I mean, this is like the end of this arc, according to the splash page, as we're getting set up for Joker Wars. I enjoyed it. I liked mostly the dialogue or the interaction between Batman and Catwoman in this. But I'm having still a little bit of trouble struggling with accepting how did Joker, a multiple convicted felon who's belonged in Arkham Asylum, how he is legally gotten hold of all of Bruce Wayne's money. I mean, you know, he didn't go into, you know, fill out a, I know it has to do with things that Catwoman did, but that's struggling a little bit for me to kind of accept that, how that's happening without his assets being frozen or otherwise kept hidden.
I can understand that. There's a lot of things that you have to sort of just say, okay, I don't know if that's believable or not, but you know how he got, you know, Wayne Manor, for instance, you know,
right.
all with his assets somehow. We don't know all the details about that. Yes. If you think about this all too much, it's not going to make a lot of sense. There's so many things happening here. In that flashback, we see Bruce Wayne pursuing this master detective. And the master detective is a failure and doesn't want anything to do with him. And he actually wants Bruce to fail.
Right.
So one question I have in this flashback is, when Bruce goes down in the basement and sees all these, this paper up on the wall, what do you think that is? Because he has a picture, it looks like what Bruce drew is one of his designs or dark designs for the city.
Yeah, there were several of them. It looked like there were all of his, there were like three different outlines, you know, of cityscape.
Yeah.
And I was thinking they're all Bruce's. So how did he get hold of those?
That was a little like, okay, how did that happen? How did he? So you just have to get past that, I guess.
I didn't really understand the way he rephrased it. He was talking about, you know, Alfred called them his little Gothams, and how Alfred thought he was making designs for the city, but he says, in reality, I was designing myself. I lost the connection there a little bit. I'm not sure how doing outlines of Gotham or designing himself.
You know, the whole message that we get here is, you know, after Alfred's death, Batman was trying to be a version that Alfred wanted him to be, and I guess that's what these designs were about, by pushing everybody away. But, you know, Batman's always pushed people away. He's always pushed the Robins away. That isn't anything new. And I guess I'm not sure how that... It seems rather complex. So I don't really have an answer to say, yeah, this is what is going on here. So, but can definitely feel that, you know, Batman, of course, after Alfred's, keeps seeing these little, you know, nightmares or visions of Alfred dying, his neck snapped. He's still in that grieving process, so I can see how he may not be 100%.
Right. And I think we're going to continue to see that, references to Alfred, grieving Alfred for a long time.
And we have Lucius Fox here who basically tells him, if I would have been at Wayne Enterprises, I would have been able to catch this and they wouldn't have been able to take the company. So he actually steps down from the Alfred role.
Yeah. He says, I can no longer be the surrogate Alfred.
Yeah.
Which I've been waiting for that too. I felt that would come along at some point.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that Lucius could be CEO of Wayne Enterprises by day and, you know, this surrogate Alfred character by night. He just couldn't do that and keep it up.
No. I mean, Bruce was calling him 24 hours a day in the middle of the night and everything else.
Right.
So, yeah, I can't imagine you could run a company like that, so... We also get introduced to the cool room where Selina got taken by the Penguin when Joker's goons showed up. He brought her with him, and it's like a room that, you know, I guess free space for Gotham's criminals to hang out if the heat is on or whatever. So there was a couple characters we were discussing, messaging back and forth who a couple of them were. I know Tiger Shark was one of them, and I hadn't remembered who he was by looking at it.
I drew a blank on it, too. I mean, I knew I had seen him, but the name just completely left me.
Yeah. And Killer Moth, that's like the new version of Killer Moth. I actually think they got that Killer Moth version from the Gotham TV show. He looks very similar.
Right.
So Killer Croc and that sort of thing. And
I want to send thanks out to Aaron Bell, because I tweeted the picture. He's the one that recognized him.
Ah, okay.
So that's all I know. So thanks to him on Twitter.
I did remember Tiger when Shark. You said it was Tiger Shark. I did remember he was in, you know, Scott Snyder's last pre-New 52 story.
Right.
In the Detective Comics, the Dark, the Black Mirror. So, yeah, I did remember that. So, yeah, we're headed to Joker War. We're not going to go into Joker and all that stuff, but how do you feel about the next arc? Are you excited about the next issue, or?
I'm anxious to see what it's going to be. I'm, as far as excited, not terribly so. I'm beginning to feel some real Joker overload.
Yeah.
And now with Joker War, he's going to be tied in with all these other books.
Yes.
Nightwing, Batgirl, Red Hood, Outlaw. Those are all going to have tie-ins. So essentially, Joker's going to be appearing in just about every book DC is printing right now.
Yep. Every bad book. I just hope that there's something new that's in this story. Something we haven't seen before. That's what I'm hoping for. Something fresh. Can you tell a new Joker story and have something fresh and new that hasn't been done before?
Well, I'm hoping so. Counting on Tynan to try to do that.
I guess we'll see. So anything else you have to add about this particular issue?
Yeah, how did you feel about, okay, kind of going back, we know that this whole plan of stealing Bruce Wayne's millions and Wayne Manor, that was all Selina's doing. You know, that was a plan that she came up with back a long time ago. And, you know, she even was apprehensive about admitting it to Bruce, thinking that that would be the end of their relationship. But in this story, when Bruce, Batman, talks to Catwoman, Selina, he's apologizing to her for all this that's gone on. And I thought, well, I was wondering what you thought about that.
Well, I'm not sure what he did. I mean, he said that, you know, he pushed her away, and she mentions the first thing that, you know, the bat and the cat, she hadn't heard that in a while, her little nickname. He hasn't been, and we haven't really seen that. All we've seen is action in this story. We haven't seen what happened between the last issue of Tom King's run and the first issue of this one. We haven't seen.
Right.
So, I'm not sure. I know they got to create a little drama there, but
right.
I think, you know, at the end here, you know, he's looking for a sign from Alfred and he wants to be a better bat. To you, what does that mean, being a better bat, a better Batman?
I can't think of what it might mean without going back to the end of Tom King's run, where, you know, the bat was broken through with all the stuff that Bane and in conjunction with all the other rogues in the gallery. I don't know if he's wanting to be, that means he's not going to be as distant. In other words, he's not going to be pushing Selina, Catwoman, away as much. So I'm not real sure. I'm not sure exactly what he means.
No, I'm not sure about that. It's hard to say. I mean, he still hasn't recovered from that. Alfred dying and that whole thing. So I'm not sure how that's going to go, but we will be here to talk about it, that's for sure.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and head to our topic of the week.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
Welcome to Topic of the Week. Our topic this week is our top three Neil Adams covers. So Neil Adams has been, you know, an artist for a very long time and a writer, but we're not going to go into his writing too much. Went back and looked through these covers. I picked out three that I liked, I enjoyed, that showed Batman, you know, and some action and different things. So I guess we'll start out with you. What's your number three top Neil Adams cover?
Well, I was just going to say kind of a preface to this. I was going through and there are some Neil Adams covers that I have used on previous episodes, like when we talked about the Bronze Age covers.
Oh, yeah.
So I decided to do something that I was going to make sure I picked out covers that I haven't picked out before.
Right, right.
My number three is Batman 217.
217.
This is the issue where Dick Grayson leaves for college.
Right.
And the cover, we see Batman walking out of the entrance to the Batcave, and Alfred standing there with tears running down his face. And Batman says, "Take a last look, Alfred, then seal up the Batcave forever."
A lot of drama there. Seal up that Batcave forever.
Of course, that didn't happen, but, you know, because covers in those days were intentionally kind of overdramatic, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, very good. Very good. I like that one, too. Yeah. So, my number three, I picked Detective Comics 404, and on the cover, it says Batman and Batgirl, and it's the Ghost of the Killer Skies featuring Enemy Ace, and it has Batman leaping from the plane towards the Enemy Ace, and his cape is, like, wide and open. I love covers and panels that Batman has the cape that's wide open, looks almost like wings. You don't see anybody else but those two, and he's, like, diving, and he's avoiding a shot. So, yeah, that was my number three. I really enjoyed that. I like to see action in covers sometimes. Sometimes not, but the action in there looks pretty cool to me. So,
right.
What was your number two?
My number two was Batman 251. This is the first time Joker had appeared in some time, some years. He'd been absent from the Batman stories. And you have this giant Joker who's standing astride over Main City Street, you know, laughing maniacally, holding a giant ace of spades with Batman somehow pinned to it. And it says, "Look out, Gotham, Joker's back in town."
Yes, love that. Love that. Love that issue. But yeah, that's a great cover. That's a great classic cover. You see a lot of t-shirts with that cover on, and you see, you know, those little metal signs that they make with that. It's a great cover. It's one of the best. It's probably one of the best all time.
Right.
So my number two is actually Detective Comics 389. And again, you have Batman and Batgirl on top. And you see Batman in what looks like a room full of mirrors. There's a mirror on the floor. There's a mirror on each side of him. And he says, "It's me, and I'm petrified with fear of myself." And he sees a reflection in every mirror. I like that. Just you know, one of those issues that you see, and it's like, okay, what's that about? That seems kind of interesting to me. That would pull me in if that was on the shelf way back when, and to pick that up and read what that was in the inside. So what was your number one?
My number one was Detective Comics number 406. And on this cover, we have the crying statue, and Batman is held down, shackled down in irons with a gigantic hatchet that is swinging towards him. And of course, his comment is, "No power on earth can save me now." So it's, you know, is this the end of the Batman? Of course.
Of course. It's always the end.
Yes.
As far as the covers go. So, yeah, that's a cool one. I like that one, too. There's a lot. As we say, we named top three, but when it comes to covers, you could bring up so many because a lot of them are awesome. So,
right.
And my number one cover is Batman 237, The Night of the Reaper.
Yes.
And it has the Reaper swinging his sickle at Robin and Robin kind of falling over. And Batman diving at, swinging in, he's swinging in towards the Reaper, and he has this look on his face that he's getting ready to attack. So there's actually a couple things about this issue I wanted to point out. First, it's the first appearance of the Reaper that we've seen before, and we've seen in the awesome, the so popular, you know, Batman Year 2. But yeah, it's, and the horror cover, iconic cover of this, the story concept was actually inspired by Bernie Wrightson, Harlan Ellison. I'm not sure how, didn't really go into that, but I thought that was pretty cool because Bernie Wrightson, he knows his horror, and that, it does look like a horrific cover, so I did enjoy that one. So yeah, that was our three covers. If you had different ones you wanted to point out, let us know. We'd love to hear which ones you like, that sort of thing. So let's go ahead and head to our next book.
I am vengeance. I am the knight. I am Batman.
Okay, our next book is Detective Comics 1023. Storyline is Joker Hears a Who, written by Peter J. Tomasi, art by Brad Walker, inks by Andrew Hennessy, colorist is Brad Anderson, and the variant cover was Lee Bermejo. In this book, Joker is in the crypt of the Court of Owls, where the former Talons lie entombed. And he finds the tomb of Talon Lincoln March and administers a resurrection serum that he's taken from another owl. Meanwhile, at the Gotham courthouse, Batman, who narrowly escaped from death in a vat of acid in Two-Face's Church of Two, he's escaped, and now he's, after roughly interrogating several of Gotham's underworld characters, he ends up in a warehouse in the Garment District, where he pretty quickly subdues Hugo Strange and the Mad Hatter, who try to stop him. And then he's confronted by Two-Face, who had gotten into the GCPD armory and gotten one of the prototype Gotham Police Department Batman suits, the suit from the New 52, the AKA Bat Bunny suit. A brief fight ensues, but Batman's able to overcome Two-Face. But then he's greeted by Lincoln March, who tells him that the Joker sends his regards. So another story that's a prelim to try to set up the Joker War. What did you think of this?
Well, I thought it was pretty interesting. I do have to say, you see a little bit of what Joker is trying to do here than you do in Batman. I mean, you find out in Batman, the Batman series, what the Joker is doing, but you don't actually see it. This was kind of interesting to me. And anything Court of Owls, I love. I actually love the Court of Owls. That first New 52 arc, the Court of Owls, is probably one of my favorite arcs of all time. Anything Court of Owls, Lincoln March, you know, they left that sort of wide open that he was related to Bruce Wayne. He's actually his half-brother that we don't know if he is or he's not, that sort of thing.
Right.
But I thought this issue was pretty interesting, and I love to see, I didn't expect it, but I love to see Two-Face in the Bat Bunny suit. I thought that was cool. I did enjoy that aspect.
Yes.
And then we get to see, you know, he's searching for Two-Face, Batman is, and he hits this hot out, and you see the Mad Hatter, and he's like, his hat is hooked up to this machine with wires and everything to is sort of like not hypnotized, but to distract Batman or something. And you see Alfred again. Alfred and his little nightmare of him breaking his neck all over again. I think the one thing that, you know, I really enjoy in this book is the art. I like the depiction of the villains.
Yes.
They look really incredible.
Yes, there's a lot of good artwork in this. I really like Brad Walker's style.
And waking up the Talons, that's pretty cool. But then I'm a Court of Owls guy. Somebody, you know, reading it for the first time might say, who are these guys?
Right.
That sort of thing. But I enjoy it. How are you on the Court of Owls? Is that?
I love the Court of Owls. I would like to see writers use it more. They seem to, in some ways, treat it as Scott Snyder's own special, you know, story. And I don't know if they seem reluctant to try to put their spin on it or not, but we haven't seen it a whole lot from New 52.
No, we haven't. And as far as Lincoln March goes, we saw him in that first arc, and then he turned up in Batman Eternal. And that's actually when the Court of Owls, you know, he killed in that Court of Owls arc with Scott Snyder. He killed most of the, you know, elders, if you want to call them. He poisoned them. He poisoned their drinks and killed them all. So the Court of Owls was sort of out for revenge and made him a Talon at the end of that Batman Eternal. And he did show up briefly in the Robin War, but we haven't seen him since then.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm interested where this is going. I'm more interested in, you know, the Two-Face aspect because he's been used. They had a tracking. I don't know. I couldn't tell you how that was done either. They attached something to the bullet in his brain that they could track him with. And it looks like he's going to be on Batman's side, maybe just briefly, but we'll have to see.
Right. And, you know, there was a lot of action in this issue. Not a lot of story development, but I think it's setting things up for the Joker War. And, you know, we've got the Joker. We've got all the Deathstroke. We've got now Talon, Lincoln March. We've got Two-Face. This is going to be a complicated storyline, I'm feeling.
This whole
Joker War has come up. I mean, plus with all the tie-in, the books that are tying in with it.
Yeah, and then they have a special coming out. I saw maybe it's September, a special, you know, Batman and the Joker War special. So,
yes.
Yeah. As long as something, you know, new and this thing with the Court of Owls actually interests me more than, you know, some they've been saying in the solicitations for Batman is the worst toxin that Joker has ever released.
Right.
Which it's always the worst whenever he releases one.
This has gotten me intrigued enough to the point where I'm going to do something I don't normally do. Is on these big crossover events, I rarely buy all the tie-in books because I get a feeling, I don't know if it's just me being a little cantankerous, but
yeah,
I get the feeling that a lot of these tie-in books are just there to get you to buy these books and spend more money. So I don't typically read all the tie-ins unless I find something very interesting. But I'm going to do that with this because I'm curious to see where how this is going to play out.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. And actually, an important issue, if you haven't picked it up, I believe a couple episodes ago, I mentioned the last issue of Nightwing. And I don't have that issue off the top of my head. And you don't even need to know what's been going on in Nightwing. But the Joker shows up in that at the end. And something big happens that it's at least worth reading as far as that goes. I did find that interesting. So,
yes.
So anything else you want to add about this particular issue?
No. Just, you know, we're now pretty much getting poised for this Joker war to start.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We're on our way there. 2 weeks. It's weird that Detective and Batman came out the same week. That hasn't happened in a while since they've been on, you know, double shipping or whatever. So,
yes. And I was actually pleased that I got my books because when I talked with my LCS owner, this was actually the first week where shipping came out from DC using not Diamond. Using okay. one or the other. And 2 weeks ago, my LCS owner was just sort of like, we'll see. We're supposed to get the books, but who knows? But all three books I had in my pull list this weekend, I did get. So I was happy with that.
Well, that's good. That's good. I've heard lots of things about, you know, retailers not being happy with DC. They made this decision. You know, they were getting a bigger discount from Diamond with all the books together, and their discount isn't going to be as big. Of course, I don't know how true that is or not. I don't know anybody that's a retailer or anything like that. I just want to read. So it would make sense, though. It would make sense.
Well, not to get off too much on a tangent, but mm-hmm. I talk with my local LCS owner pretty much. Plus, I listen to a couple of podcasts of comic book shop owners. And one of the things that they brought up that I hadn't thought about was, yes, normally when you order everything from Diamond, you're paying one shipping charge. But now you're having to pay shipping to Diamond for those books, and now shipping again to UCS or, I've forgotten the other one, left me. So they're actually going to be paying more in shipping costs in addition to, you know, not getting as much of a discount. So their profit margins are going to go down from what they were. Now, can they make that up with increased volume? Who knows? I'll just have to wait and see.
And are people still coming into the shops?
Right.
That's the other big thing. And I know some shops are closing. I've heard, you know, here and there of shops closing up because of this, you know, COVID-19 stuff. So, okay. Let's go ahead and head to your favorite Stump the Co-host.
It's time for the Batpod Stump the Co-Host segment.
Okay, welcome to Stump the Co-Host. And today our theme on Stump the Co-Host is the Penguin. Yes, the Penguin. And you're ready?
I'm ready.
You're ready to get these right, and then you can win the cash and prizes. Because I know you won the cash and prizes last week, and I know that you want to get on this roll where you start winning all the cash and prizes.
Yes.
Okay. The first question is, what was the Penguin's original name in Detective Comics number 58? Was it Oswald Cobblepot, Reginald S. Verdex, Mr. Boniface, or Mr. Monocle? Oswald Cobblepot, Reginald Verdex, Mr. Boniface, Mr. Monocle.
We're talking about a real life name, so Mr. Monocle doesn't sound right. And I know it wasn't Oswald Cobblepot. I'm going to take a flyer and say Mr. Boniface.
If you said Mr. Boniface, you are correct. That was his name that he told his henchmen to call him in that particular issue, and it I guess they decided to change it when they gave him more of a backstory and that sort of thing. But Penguin showed up in those early issues often. Him and the Joker teamed up a lot, but he was in a lot. He was one of the popular villains way back then. So, our next question. Penguin has trick umbrellas, and I'm going to list five trick umbrellas, and you're going to tell me the one that has not shown up in the comics. So number one, the makeshift helicopter umbrella. Number two, the flashlight umbrella. Number three, the pogo stick umbrella. Number four, the rear view mirror umbrella. Or number five, the net gun umbrella.
Okay.
Helicopter, flashlight, pogo stick, rear view mirror, net gun. Which one is not right?
He's used the helicopter umbrella a number of times, so that's...
Yep.
I don't recall ever seeing a flashlight umbrella, so I'm going to say a flashlight umbrella.
If you said flashlight umbrella, you were correct.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, two for two. Holy cow. The makeshift helicopter umbrella first showed up in Batman number 38. The pogo stick umbrella showed up in Batman 36. The review mirror umbrella in Batman number 21. And net gun umbrella in Batman number 33. He was in those Batman issues a lot.
Yeah.
So no flashlight umbrella. So you won the cash and prizes. How excited are you?
I'm beyond words.
So you've won a case of Penguin's trick umbrellas. Yes, no more driving or running to the store when you have a jetpack umbrella. One of just several amazing life-changing umbrellas, including the glue gun umbrella, the grilling umbrella, and the plumbing snake umbrella.
That's funny.
How excited are you?
I'm very excited. I will be thrilled if there's a gin and tonic umbrella.
Could be. I don't know. That's the only ones that I knew about. But only one problem. It might not be a problem for you because you would look pretty good, I do have to say. That the more you use these umbrellas, you'll be overcome with the need to wear a monocle and a top hat. So, not that bad.
Well, I can do the top hat. I know I can sport a top hat. Monocle? We'll have to see. So.
We will see. So, yeah, that was Stump the Co-Host. So, let's go ahead and head to our final book.
Whoever dehydrated those pirates could not have foreseen their accidental rehydration with the heavy water we use in recharging the atomic pile. You saw it yourself, Robin. The slightest impact was sufficient to instantly reduce them to antimatter.
Our final book, one of the old books that we pick every time. This is Batman Special, Volume 1, Number 1. The story is The Player on the Other Side, written by Mike Barr, pencils by Michael Golden, inks Mike DiCarlo, colorist Adrian Roy, was edited by Dick Giordano and Lynn Wein. On the same night when Thomas and Martha Wayne were murdered by Joe Chill, another child was left an orphan when both of his parents were murdered by a police officer as they were committing the crime. Ever since that night, Bruce Wayne and the other child dedicated their lives to become the ultimate Avengers. Bruce Wayne became Batman and fought on one side of justice for the law, while the other kid became Wrath, a force of evil against law and order. Now, some 25 years later, close to the anniversary day of the murders, Wrath has returned to Gotham. He's been traveling across Europe and other places, murdering several law enforcers across the world. But his main objective now is to kill the man who shot his parents, Commissioner Jim Gordon. After two failed attempts, Gordon's taken to a safe place by Batman, who starts investigating the mysterious murder. Meanwhile, Wrath is also investigating the background story after learning that Batman goes to Crime Alley every single year on the same day that his parents were killed. By learning this, he deduces Batman is Bruce Wayne. And in an act of aggression, the Wrath destroys the tombstones of Thomas and Martha Wayne and lures Bruce Wayne out of Wayne Manor, which gives the Wrath time enough to brutally beat Alfred, who ends up in the hospital. So Batman starts investigating the background of the Wrath, and after learning of the required information from the underworld, Batman goes to the only person who knows the Wrath. Grail Hudson, who is the daughter of a late crime kingpin, has allied herself and is romantically involved with Wrath. and is working with him to try to eliminate Gordon so they can he can be finished with his revenge and they can move on and have a life together. Batman goes to her apartment and finds enough information that help him locate the Wrath. Unfortunately, on the anniversary of the Wayne murders, Leslie Tompkins also goes to Crime Alley. She always meets Bruce there. So shortly after Batman and Gordon meet Wrath at the top of the rooftop of Crime Alley, Leslie is captured by Wrath, but is later allowed to leave. Wrath shoots at Gordon 3 times, hitting him in the chest. Thinking that he's killed his parents' murderer, Wrath now focuses on Batman, but Gordon attacks Wrath by suddenly giving Batman time to disarm the criminal. Gordon descends from the building to the street where Gotham Police Department is gathered, along with Grail Hudson. It turns out that Batman had given Gordon a bulletproof vest. Eventually, you know, Wrath starts a fire in his struggle with Batman, is engulfed by flames of his own creation, leading to his fall from the rooftop and his ultimate demise. So we have this story that I've never read this story before. I've had this book in my collection for some time, but this is the first time I've read it, and I was extremely pleased with it. I think it is a well-written story. What were your thoughts on it?
Absolutely. It's one of the best books that I hadn't read before. It really was. It was. I wasn't expecting that. I really didn't know who the Wrath was or anything like that. I actually got him confused with the new 52 character that was like the Wraith. So
right.
I thought it was very interesting, and the art in this was fabulous. And if you're not familiar with Michael Golden, you know, he did the Batman Family, some of those issues, and I loved the look of Batman when he has the cape, you know, lower, it comes down lower across his body and is a little bit over his, across the bat. But I don't know how practical that is because it looks like your arms would be more constricted, but I do like the look of that. I do, right. That's something I enjoyed. The other thing in there I found, you know, we have two parallel stories, basically, from what happened on the same day, people going in different direction, and you have them basically wearing a similar suit, but Wrath character made his suit intentionally look like Batman's suit just to try to trick Gordon because he was the one that killed his parents, and he wanted to get his revenge, and basically, his whole thing was about revenge when Bruce Wayne's whole thing was about, you know, protecting Gotham, that nobody else would go through what he had to go through. So I found it very interesting.
Yes, I thought this was a damn good story. And it was interesting. A couple things I found interesting was that the Wrath was smart enough to go in and look and deduce that Batman was Bruce Wayne.
Oh, yeah. When he found out, you know, the same day, I mean, that wouldn't be hard when you find out he had the tragedy on the same day he had a tragedy. So
the one thing I really liked about this, and they could have easily done it, but I was pleased that we never find out the identity of the Wrath.
No, we don't.
We don't find out what his name is. And I thought that was well done because that would have been easy to do and been more of a cliche type ending. But they didn't do that, and I thought that was to their credit. Another thing I thought about when I read this was, of all the stories that they have done and made into animated stories, movies, this would make a damn good animated story.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it would, too.
So, hopefully, I mean, that would be not something, I doubt they would ever do it, but I think it would be exceedingly good animated story.
And there's some powerful scenes in this, like the scene where Bruce finds out the his gravestones of his parents have been destroyed, and you see all that emotion and anger with Michael Golden's art. That's a very powerful scene. You can imagine how upset. I mean, that's his Batman journey. It's been all about his parents and protecting those not to go through what he's gone through. One thing that I want to bring up to you. Did you notice that there's no Comics Code of Authority on this book.
I did notice that.
Yes. It didn't have, and you notice a couple scenes in here that if it was on there, you might have saw it a little differently, like when he killed the servant and the knife is dripping with blood. And then you see there at the end where the Wrath is caught on fire.
Right.
So that's a couple, you know, the story is like ahead of its time, basically. But it was originally supposed to be published in Batman Annual Number 9 and didn't. For some reason, I don't know if the story was too mature to be, you know, it had to have the Comics Code to be on an annual or what it is. I don't know all the rules that go along with that, but
yes.
I found that interesting.
Yeah, this story, it's available on Comixology if you want to read it digitally.
Yep.
But it's been reprinted in several editions. The Best of DC, number 62. It was actually a published separately as Batman, The Wrath. It's been reprinted in Batman in the 80s and in Batman, A Celebration of 75 Years. So it's recognized as an important story.
And it's also in Michael Golden's hardcover of Batman issues.
Exactly.
And did you realize there was a sequel?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I haven't read it.
Yeah, but it was in Batman Confidential, I believe. It was issue number 13 through 16. It was kind of interesting. It has, you know, some familiar characters, and you get into a little bit why he was so upset with Gordon and that sort of thing. So it was interesting, I do have to say. But I think that's where the story, he hasn't shown up again. Right. Well, it's kind of hard for a character to show up when he dies in his first issue. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to bring up is, you know, there's a panel in there where Bruce mentions that what day it is, and Alfred seems to be confused, like he doesn't know what that day means. Did you notice that?
I did, and that really struck me odd, because if anybody would know, Alfred would know. Because, you see, other than in other comic books and in TV shows and movies, you know, Alfred comes to get Bruce after his parents have been shot. So I can't imagine Alfred not knowing that date, the significance of that date. Especially if Bruce goes every year to put roses on the spot, which is traditionally what he does.
Right, right.
In the comic books. So that was a little odd. I couldn't quite comprehend what they were getting at with that.
No, I'm not sure about that one. But I thoroughly enjoyed this one. I actually ordered it on eBay after I read it.
Yeah, it's a good one to have in your collection.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. So, yeah. Any last thoughts on this particular book?
No, I would just encourage everyone to read it, whether you go get a digital copy or find it in reprint or something. I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100% if you haven't read it. Okay, I guess we will go ahead and get out of here.
If you'd like to contact us and be part of the Batpod, our email is batpodpodcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @pod_bat. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please consider giving us a review. We'd really appreciate it. Lastly, a big thank you to those who have liked and retweeted the show on Twitter or Facebook.
So we had some good books this week. Batman, Detective, a lot of Joker. But I think my favorite book of the week was actually the Batman Special. That was probably my favorite read.
I would absolutely have to agree, yeah. Because that one really surprised me, just how good it was.
And I do have to say, the art in all these books are fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any complaints about any of the art. It's very good. Stump the co-host, you got two in a row, you're on a roll.
I know.
I don't think anybody's got two in a row.
Well, now can I get three? That's going to be the...
Three, there you go. Got to go a little harder. Get rid of these cheese questions. So, if you don't have anything else, we'll go ahead and get out of here.
All right, nothing else for me.
Until next time, same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later.